Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies.
This is AfterBuzz TV's The Americans After Show.
We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's The Americans After Show.
Welcome to Americans AfterBuzz After Show. That's our cue.
That's it. Time to talk, man.
I was waiting for you to start the show, Joe.
Get it on, brother.
I am Joe Braswell. We're here. I'm here with my two good friends, Jennifer Golden.
Hello.
And Joe Sanfilippo.
Nice to be with you guys.
We are coming down the stretch here, the Americans, aren't we?
Only a couple left.
Only two episodes left. And tonight was a fantastic episode, as usual.
I feel like it really tied up a lot of things. Or it forged along.
Well, I said this last week and week before, but they kept foreshadowing in the first like five episodes about how dangerous Larrick is. Like every episode, it was like, Larrick's really dangerous.
Right.
He's really dangerous. Look out for Larrick. And I was like, man, Larrick was gone. Now we know he's very dangerous.
But I mean, he's no more dangerous than they are.
No, but I mean, as a story arc, right. They kept foreshadowing that Larrick's going to be back to wreak havoc. And he came back and he
He's broken. Wreaking some havoc.
Right.
Some havoc.
That is the definition
broken.
Of wreaked havoc. It has been broken.
He broke some havoc.
It has been rickified.
We still don't know, though, if he killed Leanne and Emmett, which I really need to know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I suspect that he did, based on all the stuff that's gone on.
Well, for why?
Well, because they had some over his head. They had him by the tail.
But were they the ones blackmailing him?
Yeah.
No, but I feel like he didn't
I don't think they were the ones working him.
He didn't get all, they like, the bam until right now.
A what? Ba-bam?
Ba-bam. I don't think that he was as, like, vicious and, like, seeking revenge until recently.
You think it's the Philip killed the guys in the camp? Do you think that's what set him off?
Yes.
Yeah,
that started this domino effect.
Well, that's obviously what set him off, but I think that before that, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out why he killed Emmett and Leanne.
Well, we don't know
What's the motivation?
Well, because they were blackmailing him because he's gay.
But I know, but were they the, I mean, just to be clear here, were they the one? I know the KGB was blackmailing
him. I thought it was Emmett and Leanne that were blackmailing him.
Based on what?
Based on what the show said.
Okay. I don't remember that.
I don't remember.
They were telling.
They are the ones who initially brought him in, right? And like caught him.
Yeah, and that's
him.
That's how they were getting him. Okay. That was the angle they went in. That was the wedge.
But I don't think that he killed them. I think that just led us onto his tail and like made him part of the storyline. But I don't think he killed them. I think we're gonna find out somebody. Well, we'll talk about this in predictions probably.
Yeah, but I'm also just very interested in the whole notion of the notion of Kate going to see Jared, you know, not in disguise, and what that conversation was.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Immediately after Elizabeth went to go see Jared, and not too soon after Stan went to go see Jared. So Jared's, you know, and Jared
popular.
Said he's very popular, obviously, very smart. Like he says, I'm not stupid. I know something's going on. I need to know what.
Well, and clearly there's more going on than we know because it obviously if Jared's parents were involved with Kate before Philip and Elizabeth were involved with Kate, then Kate's been around longer than we thought.
Right.
True. We don't know a lot about Kate, which I think will answer some things now that she's gone. And the center just gave Philip and Elizabeth her address. So, you know, obviously things are going to start being revealed.
I agree. That's a message for you, sir.
Oh.
What?
There's
put your phone away.
There we go. There you go. Perfect.
I mean.
Well, that was less distracting than the zip. Send the buzz?
After buzz.
I just supposed to look over. You're like, what? Huh? Huh? What happened? That's anyway.
Great.
We'll talk more about the show. We have a lot to get into. I want to get into Paige, obviously, and that whole thing and Elizabeth's reaction to Paige. You know, how Elizabeth and Philip are on the case in terms of, you know, really starting to figure out what's going on with George, who's missing, and all the other folks who are missing. Larrick's rampage, of course. What's going on at the Residentura? Lots going on at the Residentura. I have lots to discuss.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Discuss and ask about Nina, you specifically.
Of course you do.
Questions, I know. I always have that. But I do have some questions on Nina. But before that, I do want to remind and mention to all you guys that our lovely founders and executive producers, Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro, have a fantastic show that you may or may not be aware of. I'm sure you're aware of if you listen to AfterBuzz, called Chasing Maria Menounos. And it is on, and it is fantastic. You can find it on 10 p.m. on Oxygen. You can also download it, or you can also find it on iTunes and Amazon and get it on demand. You know, a lot of us are in it. They're in it. It tracks Maria and Kevin's life. It is very, very funny and very good. And I love
actually
the show.
Teared up because of the previews for next week about Maria's dad, about her dad with diabetes, and how it's like, you know, a real serious thing.
Yeah. It's great.
He's a sweet man.
He is.
He's a sweet guy.
He needs to take good care of himself. And you see her just like, you know, contemplate the idea of life without him because what could happen because of diabetes. So I teared up.
It's great. I've known Maria for a while. I work with her over at Extra, and she helped bring me here. And then I'm going to meet Kevin, and Kevin's great too. And so it's interesting to see. But even, as much as I even know them, I know more about them through the show. So it's great. Check it out. 10 p.m. on Oxygen or iTunes or Amazon or on demand. Now. Let's talk about Nina.
Nina.
Okay, of course she's first.
Let's
talk about Oleg.
There's nothing wrong with Nina.
We'll start with Stan because, you know, Stan's still hot on the case. You know, him and Gad are very sort of, they're figuring this thing out. Go ahead.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Sure.
I wonder if there has been like an edit change or like a change in direction at some point in this season because, you know, I remember a few episodes ago, Stan went to Gad's house and remember how furious Gad was about that. You remember his reaction to it?
Yeah.
And it just seemed to me like this episode, it almost seems like they wrote two parallel timelines with Gad and Beeman. And they're not really they're,
consistent.
Yeah, the relationship does not seem consistent to me.
Because we said it before that episode too, before Stan went to his house. We were like, wait, weren't they just buddies and they were working on this stuff
together?
And
now they hate each other and now they're buddies again.
And now they're buddies. And then tonight they were like half buddies, half not buddies. So it felt like they were trying to like bridge those two gaps and maybe fill that hole, but it's uncomfortable.
I have answers.
You have answers?
I do have answers.
Well, tell me the answer.
Yeah.
No, it stems from the whole Stan pulling that, you know, basically when Gad got reassigned. Like, and that for that whole thing, and Stan was investigated, and the office was investigated, and Stan got reassigned, and now he's back, it's fine, but that whole thing pissed Gad off. Gad got reassigned.
Right.
That whole thing really pissed Gad off. I mean, they had that confrontation where he's like, you know, I'm not gonna burn you down to burn this office down. As much as I'm pissed at you, I'm not gonna hang you out to dry as well.
Right.
But this sucks. Thanks, Stan.
I get all that, but I guess, it's more of a show thing to me than because like if someone's been to my house, I'll usually like I've been married 17 years. Hell, you met my wife. I'll say something like that. I won't I've been married 17 years, and that's the first you've ever heard of anything about my family except for that time you came to my house, which I'm not going to address.
Right. That was so odd.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. I just feel like
it was like they had just met.
They're professional. There's some professional courtesy happening there the whole time. They're closer than they still have the boss, not you know, boss employee relationship. Gad was a boss. There's definitely professional courtesy and respect towards each other. They've been through a lot. But once that whole incident went down, you know, where Gad got transferred, I think Gad was sort of like salty on Stan. Now he came back.
There was an episode though where Stan pulled Gad in to help, and it was like he was buttering him up and being like, I need your special, like,
yeah, you're, right. And you know, that was his way back into the unit.
And right. Dad was very much like, okay, he was had a little smirk on his face. And then,
but then the next episode was the whole house visit, and he was all bent out of shape about it.
It just seems mushy, that's all. I'm not,
okay, fair enough.
We're not going to get to the bottom of it, but I just feel like we should point out that it's a little mushy.
It seems to ring true to me. I don't know.
There's a little
it
hole. Could be. There's a hole, I think.
But so Stan seems to be hot on the case, and, you know, he's. Still, he's having, you know, a lot of, still having a lot of problems at home, obviously. He's still, he finally got his commendation, which, you know, which is great, which he seems to mean very little to him at this point. But he's still home and he has that conversation with Sandra, and that was a very interesting, interaction, the two of them.
Let me ask you a question, and this was very interesting to me because, you know, when he got the commendation from Gad, it was like Gad and here talking, and Gad's like, oh crap, hold on, don't go anywhere.
Right.
Here's your commendation.
Yeah, because Gad, I mean, I feel like the commendation was, I mean, that whole thing. Remember, he said you should get a commendation, but you're not going to get a commendation. Instead, you're getting investigated and you're getting transferred.
The episode to me was, I think it did a really good job of pointing out, like, when you're a little kid, like he was talking to Henry about this. You know, yeah, I wanted to be in the FBI from reading the comic books and the shootout. And it was interesting that he still could think back to how he felt reading the comic books about being in the FBI.
Did you see the look reality, in his face, though, in that moment? I mean, I'll go back to that, but go ahead. Finish your thought.
Well, just the reality of actually the actual reality of the politics of it and the game playing and the adult reality that you're getting a trophy for doing a thing because the bosses, you know, kind of want to make you feel good. It's the same thing. It's the same reason we give kids trophies for soccer. Here's a little thing. And a lot of kids will play a whole season of soccer for that goofy trophy. And, you know, Stan has probably worked his whole career thinking he wants this thing. And then he gets it. He doesn't get the ceremony he wants. He doesn't get all the fanfare he wants. His boss goes, oh, crap, I got to give this to you. Here it is. He takes it home. He can't even show his wife. Because his wife has just got back from a 3-day tear with boyfriend.
I think it was longer than 3 days.
Yeah. Was it longer than 3 days?
A long time.
Yeah, because they kept asking, like, is she back yet? It was like she was never coming back. Like,
right?
Is this the longest 3 days yet?
No.
Ever?
So maybe they went to Miami, where good things happen, good things in Miami. Maybe they went to Miami for 3 weeks and then came back.
Maybe they did.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
Hair looked too good, though, to have been in Miami. I'm sorry.
Oh, the humidity would have killed it?
She would not have had that hairdo.
But well, it just seemed to me like a real bummer, like all of like a real just the juxtaposition of fantasy versus reality, and like you say, what is this, just a work thing. He can't even tell her. It's just all.
I think part of that also shows like what we always say, that their jobs are jobs and they're also human beings, and that what they're doing is so serious. Just like he said to Henry, I'm not a hero.
Right.
Like there's a lot of consequence that comes with his job. Like first that he like loses his wife, basically. He has to kill people.
Yes. There's
all kinds of like drams with his lady friend that she might be deported or whatever. So
mad drams.
Right. Mad drams. Soup drams with Anina.
I do want to pick up. I'm glad you picked up on that interview with Henry. Because that there was that moment where he talked about, you know, why he got into the FBI, and that, like, and this is where, you know, Noah Emmerich wins acting. Like, the look on his face in that moment, talk about, you know, God, Dillinger and those guys were the guys.
You could still
like,
feel that.
The look in his face was such joy. And then in that same sentence, he went back and says, kind of like, but now it sucks.
You know? Right.
The you reality know? Of that. And then that's kind of interesting in that, like, to see him, why he is Stan. And when Stan is at his best, when he is, you know, cracking cases and solving, and he's really enthused. He loves his job. And he's very good at his job, we argue this, but he's very good at his job, I think.
He's getting better. I'll give you that. Tonight didn't annoy me as much.
But back at home with Sandra, he is a complete mess, and none of that stuff is important. And I don't know, just end it. Sandra, just, you know, it's over.
Well, I like that you, like, made her more exotic. Sandra.
That hairdo. She came in like Sandra. She left Sandra and came back Sandra, honey.
Uh-oh.
Might as well call her Stella. Stella got her groove back.
Sandrified.
Don't ask anything you don't want to know.
I love that line. She's very mature.
But yes, 3 weeks, 4 times a day.
Way more mature than Stan.
Yes, okay. 3 weeks, 4 times.
All right, gutter people.
Just saying.
Calm
poor
down.
Stan.
That's how you do it in Miami. That's what I've heard.
Okay. So anyway.
But how are they even questioning? I clearly harp on this every time. How is it not over, and why do they ask that question?
How do you end it? Where do you go?
They have family, and it's 1980.
It's 1981 or 82.
Son.
Is 83?
Yeah.
They have a grown-up son.
Well, what do you? What
having affairs left and right.
Well, they don't. They just started. They're just whatever.
So,
it's their first fling.
You know.
So anyway, let's move on from that. But the point is that what I want to get to is so Stan is his clearance level is up. Oleg and Arkady know this, so they still need the information. We're still trying to get to the bottom of this whole stealth technology and how the Americans are doing it.
Stealth. The time has come for the push, man.
The push, and so they need the information. We saw from that sort of great scene that opened the show back from our guy Vasily and the scientist whose
Anton.
Name is Anton Jin. Thank you.
She's good. You gotta give her credit.
The names. So Vasily and Anton, and poor Anton. They gave him a woman. A nice looking
here,
one.
We have brought you woman. Have a good time.
Eh? And it's like, hey, you can.
He's not so cold
you
now.
You can
right?
be here in Siberia and make us some. Sets up.
Yeah.
I love that they show that, though. That this is also what your country does to you.
Right. But it's also like the look. That was a great opening scene because you see beautiful woman,
We have no idea what she actually looked like. You just saw her butt.
And that was a great choice. I thought that was a great choice.
Nameless woman.
Nameless. Hair. Faceless.
Right.
Hair and naked body. But,
that's it.
But I'm assuming she was good looking. And and the look on his face was like, ugh. Right. He's miserable, poor guy. They talked about the kids. Now it's a great scene. And good to see Vasily back, our boy Vasily.
Is it good to see him?
No.
Right.
It's good to, anyway, so.
What did he ever do to you?
He represents everything bad.
He slept with Nina is what he did to me, pal.
Is that what happened?
Yes.
Is that what ruined Christmas for
it
you?
It did.
Everybody sleeps with Nina. You're just the only
it's
one.
It's true.
Everyone
I was actually thinking about that.
No soup
We've
for you.
We've got three now that we can name.
Yes. Three.
I know, and yeah.
I wonder what she tells people. She probably says her number's like 5.
I gotta get into that resident tour.
This year.
That's funny. So to get stealth technology, Arkady and Oleg kind of tell Nina that, look, your new mission is to sort of get Stan. This is good news. Stan's woman's gone. He's down in his luck.
Yeah.
Like, he's in love with you. Sure. Now's the time to strike. Right. You need to get all the intel out of him you can. We need to know what's going on. This is your big moment. And Nina is like, really? And she's kind of seemed hesitant. So Arkady then tells Oleg that, look, she's a traitor. Moscow knows this. If she doesn't do this mission, I'm going to send her back to Moscow. I thought in that moment that this was like Arkady trying to get at Oleg, knowing that they're sleeping together. But it was Arkady.
I thought so, too. I thought he was calling him out until we heard the rest of it where he's... like said, but didn't say. Well, you need to warn her.
Well, let me ask you guys a question because it seemed that way, right? It seemed like Arkady's going to Oleg. Hey, I can't tell her, but you got protection, so you can tell her.
Well, no, it seemed the other way to me. It seemed Arkady was telling Oleg, like, your girl Nina, she's going back. Like, F you.
Well, I took it one step deeper, and I thought he was doing a solid, like, hey, I care about her, and
I read it towards the end, right?
Right.
Right. Yeah.
But
right.
Here's what I'm saying: after looking at the scenes from next week, when Arkady shows up at the love house. Which is not a particularly impressive love house. But
looks
when
like a jail cell, really.
Right? When he shows up there, I think maybe he's playing a little longer game.
No, Arkady's, first of all, Arkady's got a job to do. Like, if Nina's not going to do the job.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe he's part of the.
But he's got a job to do. So if Nina's not going to do the job, he knows they've got Stan. Arkady's going to make the moves, whether Nina ran or not. So maybe Nina goes AWOL. Arkady's like, F it, I'll just roll up Stan's house myself.
What's up, Stan?
He's already on the take.
What is up, Stan?
What is up? That's really bad.
Hello, Stan.
Yes. I don't know what's happening.
H-E-E-L-O.
Yes.
Hello. No, you don't get... Whatever. Fine. Bad.
Anyway.
Don't worry, comrade. I am in the understanding of you.
Thank you.
Stephen Lemieux.
Thank you, Stephen Lemieux. They confront Nina. They say, look, this is your chance. I mean, I'm sorry. We're back to the Oleg. The Oleg-Arkady confrontation. Arkady lets Oleg know that you can let Nina know.
Yeah.
Right.
I can't. You can let Nina know. A lot was answered here because this is where we find out that Arkady really does sort of care at least something about Nina.
Yeah.
This is where we also find out that Oleg really does care about Nina because there was some question as to whether or not Oleg was playing her.
He is still questionable.
You really?
Well, when he gave her the pin, I was like, is this a manipulation move? Because... I don't know.
He was very quick. I mean, he always liked her from the beginning, but I feel like Oleg's playing a longer game with Nina as well.
Yeah.
But I don't know. He's pretty up on the up and up. He gave her the pen. He put it right next to her boob or heart. And then he,
I'll tell you what I think is interesting. Like, it's very funny to see, to me, like, all the stuff that would have set me off is just about, this girl that I'm into sleeping with another dude. I couldn't handle that. I could not deal with that. But apparently Oleg has been okay with that because he understands it and he's able to get his head around that.
It's part of the spy game.
Spy game, homie.
But treason. No.
Right.
And he was mad. He was pissed. and he did what was right about, you know, he cared for, but he was heated. He went into that whole thing loaded. He was not. He didn't come in there, you know.
But it could be. I don't. It could be as much about treason as much as about deception. Like, you know, this is someone who's close to, who he's sleeping with. Well, in other words, if she had told him, hey, Oleg, I did this thing, can you help me out? Maybe he wouldn't take it. But he had to hear it from Arkady. This is his woman. He had to hear it from someone else.
I mean,
maybe,
what have they been dating at 3 days, just like Sandra's been gone 3 days? Like, it doesn't feel like...
She'd be my woman if I dated her for 2 weeks.
Obviously, that goes without saying.
Let her sort it out.
But to me, it reveals that Oleg really cares about her because he did. He could have said, you know, me and my dad are taking you down, or I'm sending you to Moscow myself, or da da da. But he told her, look, you know, if
you have to run,
if this doesn't work out, if you really think you can't get Stan to turn, you got to run. Which is a hell of a thing to say to your girlfriend, like, hey, go sleep with Stan until he tells you the truth. I mean, until he tells you what you need to know. But if you can't do that, nice knowing you. Because
I think he's adult enough to take a look at the situation, realize that this is probably a bridge too far, too fast.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you get Stan to give you some records as to where Oleg was going, and Oleg, no one cares about him anyway.
Yeah.
That's one thing.
Right. But stealth information, like when when they were talking about the plan, I'm like, so was she going to just walk in and be like, "Yo, Stan, stealth"?
Yeah.
What you got, man?
Exactly. Like, I know you got stealth.
So can you give me some stealth?
I gotta take it back to the residence tour.
I need a bucket of stealth.
Well, she's probably going to say, this is not a prediction, this is just like, we saw it, that they're going to send me back if you don't give me this information.
Well, yes, but this brings me to my other question.
Stan do?
Well, no, not even what will Stan do. It really kind of get into the psyche of Nina, right? And you can help me out with this because Jill's useless.
That's the question you wanted to ask me?
Yeah, because you don't think about women. Like, so...
He only has daughters, a wife.
Daughters and wives.
A dance school.
That's true. All right, so...
I ain't talking to him.
I'll talk to you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay, I love you, Joe. I need to ask you. So, yes. Nina, she's coming off as, and maybe I'm just blinded by love, but she's coming off now. Maybe I'm zooming out and I'm like, Nina's kind of an opportunist and, you know, she's a self-preservationalist as we all are. But, so she got stuck with the sending the stereo equipment back. So she shacks up with Stan, right? And then Stan kills her boy. So then she goes to Arkady and says she wants to help her to be a double agent. She's a double agent this whole time. Does she really still like Stan? She hates Stan now because Stan killed her boy.
Yeah.
So she's working against Stan, working for Arkady, back repatriated, working for her country. Then she meets Oleg, falls for Oleg. Oleg and her are doing the thing. Now, she thought she was safe, but now that she knows that she's not safe in Russia, she's going to come jumping back to Stan. It really genuinely seems that that is genuine. Like, she's like, Stan, I need your help. Help me. I don't know where she stands. Is she? Like,
I got a question for you about that.
I have a question for both of you. Where's the question in what you're asking me?
Oh, the question is Nina...
It's a recap.
Does Nina...
I'm
sorry, the question
all
is...
All I know is that you just recapped 1 and 2.
I'm sorry, genuine question is,
yeah,
does Nina care about Stan at all?
No.
When she came back and she's like crying, like, Stan, help me,
she's
love you?
Good.
Or she's just trying to...
Homegirl passed the lie detector test.
Right.
She now is a qualified actress.
Well, a little anus clenching.
Yeah, exactly. She now knows how to play all sides.
Right.
She works up her whole emotional thing. That's how she's always gotten.
So she's
Stan
a free agent
things.
Right now. But I guess
no,
I'm getting
I don't think she's a free agent at all. I think she's working still for Arkady and Oleg.
When she confesses to Stan that they're going to send me back, you think this is a part of her?
Yeah, that's exactly what I just said. That I think she's going to say.
Right.
No, not yet.
Let me know.
Okay, I'll tell you when. So I think she's going to say, hey, Stan, they're going to send me back unless you give me this information. Because she knows he loves her that much.
Okay.
And if he doesn't, then he doesn't.
Right.
Let me ask you guys a question.
All right.
What if Arkady set this whole thing up? What if Arkady went to Oleg to say this thing to him, to tell him, hey, you know, we're gonna send Nina back to Moscow to stand trial for treason, and knowing that Oleg would go to Nina, then Nina would go to Stan, and now we have the leverage because Nina believes it. So we don't need Nina to play Stan. Nina goes in believing that she's going to be sent back to Moscow so we can get Stan even deeper.
So Oleg's playing the super...
He could be playing the super long game. It's a possibility.
I guess that's long.
That's a long game.
Oleg or Arkady?
It'd be Arkady. You're right.
So let me get this right. So you're saying Arkady as a motivator for Nina. He says it's not enough to tell Nina to do the job.
Right.
He's gonna make Nina think that she is going to go back to Moscow if she doesn't do the job. But he's not gonna tell her directly. He's gonna tell Oleg. Right. Make Oleg tell her.
Because then it seems legit, and I don't disagree with that.
It could be. I'm not saying it is.
That is a plausible scenario.
What about the bit where Oleg went rogue and said, "You better run." So if she runs, and Arcady's like, "Yo, what happened to Nina?" I told her to run. But that wasn't my plan. I was playing the long game.
Well, maybe they should communicate better in Russian. I don't know.
Like, that's not a solid
plan. Why do you tell her to run? You're not paying attention. What the
heck? Why are you the count?
I really did go county, didn't it? One running Nina. Two running Nina.
Okay. That's good. So, yeah, I don't know. So maybe Arcady is playing the super-duper long game.
I'm just saying it's a possibility.
But it's already been – Oleg's already told her to run, so that long game's busted.
But I'm saying that might be the thing.
All right.
But I also think they probably assume Nina won't run.
Okay. I think Nina is just a free agent now and is on her own. And, like, I'm scared. I just need the best – whoever's helping me the most. If first it was going to be Stan, and then now Stan, I don't want him. I'll go back to Russia. Russia's effing me around. They're going to send me back. I'm going back to Stan. That's what I think.
You know what I love about good writing is when it doesn't feel like the character has much choice.
Yes.
Because you've written them into a place where they don't have...
always say that.
I love that.
Yeah,
I think this is where we're at with Nina. They've written her to a place where no matter which way she goes, she's backed into a corner, and I love that. Because it makes motivated actions.
There's nothing we can really predict in the show.
Yeah. I have no idea what
it's
Nina's...
It's that good.
I'm just trying to get to Nina's motivations. I have no idea what her motivations are. I have no idea if she's, you know, just trying to save herself, if she's really trying to complete the mission to save herself, if she's trying to, like, run with Stan. Who knows? We'll soon find out. And whether Stan will fall for it, whether Stan will do, you know, what's Stan going to do? Is Stan going to, like, give her what she wants?
Well, that's the thing is, you know, if it is legit, then the lie can become the truth.
Right.
I mean,
right.
He's lived in this fantasy that he's the only thing that she's got in the world for so long.
Right. And they did tell him, actually, that she was in danger.
Yeah.
Oleg said that, didn't he?
So, I mean, this
so
might
it's
be,
all connecting, really.
And it really does. If it's not the long game, if Arcady's not playing a long game and she really is running and it's really legit, then Stan is in the position he's wanted to be in. He's been fantasizing about all season that he's all that's standing between her and the wolves, and he is the hero on the white horse, and he can do that.
I'm going to go Arcady is really, really running the show here. Uh-huh. And, I mean, he seems to have done well so far.
All right. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I think Nina's on her own. We'll see. We'll see about this.
We'll see who's right.
So let's switch over to Larrick, because Larrick is a bad guy.
He's not a nice Larrick.
Larrick's a meanie.
Turns out they were right about
him all along when they said this Larrick is dangerous.
It's so weird they weren't lying.
Larrick really turned out to be dangerous.
Yeah.
And, you know, RIP to our girl Kate, who I was just getting to like
so
that
soon.
Kate.
I liked her now also at this moment.
Well, she was kind of good because, you know, we wondered the introduction of Kate, and she seemed like she was a little wet behind the ears, and she seemed a little too referential to Philip, and really, like, I'm a big fan of your work, and like almost like a groupie, and then, you know, then Philip was disrespectful to her.
Right.
Then we saw her kind of shift and really get into the handler role and sort of boss him around a bit. And as the episodes, you know, we got deeper and deeper in the season, she became more and more capable, or maybe she's capable the whole time, but she was revealed as more capable.
We could trust her more.
Right. All the way to the point where Larrick, who, as we know, last season went to George's house, we now know
last
George,
episode.
Last episode, and he took out George and took out the network and tapped into the network. And,
right. And the first call he made was to Kate.
Kate.
So that was the address he found and went and he got her.
And he shows
I wonder
up
if
there.
He knows, well, he must know that she's the first point of contact,
yes,
and that she must be the handler because that's who he called first.
He did. I thought that was a random. I thought that was random.
I think it is random because he was just trying any number that George had because George hit the self-destruct button, but whatever didn't get fried is what he got through on.
True.
So it just happened to be
that was he came up, you know, sevens on that one. That
well,
was,
not really because he was going after Philip and Elizabeth. He didn't want the handler.
Right.
So I mean, and he kind of crapped out, if you want my opinion, to continue with your metaphor.
Sure.
Because she didn't have any information on Philip and Elizabeth, didn't have anything to give him.
But if you bet the pass line, I'm kidding. No. So that's more playing craps. So
11 the hard way.
All right. So but he did show up at the at Kate's house, and Kate did seem to know what was happening. It was very sneaky.
I feel like they have that plan, that emergency plan,
right?
You know, going into all these things.
And you asked us, we're watching it, is can Kate kick ass? Is she going
to
be
right?
Badass?
I wanted to know if she was going to be badass Kate or just like communication Kate.
She was badass Kate. I mean, she was ready for action. She did give Larrick a good
pencil
smack.
Skirts though, not ready for action. I was going to,
you know, every not time, for anything.
You wear the pencil skirt.
I said every time I wear a pencil skirt, man, it's never a good call.
But she did. She was ready, and I thought that she was pulling out the toilet paper like a silencer deal. But we know now that it was a message,
right?
And in fairness, three or four wads of toilet paper probably not going to work as a silencer.
That's what I said, and he was like, "Oh, that's how you do it."
You know,
I was like, "Really?"
Ask Joe about being a hitman. He knows.
I was wrong.
He seemed really
use the toilet paper sensor. Come on, man.
The old toilet paper trick works every time.
Everybody knows that.
I've seen it before.
News to me.
Stallone. So he comes in. So Larrick attacks her. And I thought Larrick killed her initially, but no. He strung her up and was very menacing and very scary. And that whole scene was just terrifying. He found all of her information and did the whole questioning bit. And just the way he's walking behind her and kind of like jostling her hips.
Oh, so creepy.
Oh, that was just so creepy.
I felt a little bit more comfortable knowing he was gay and that he wasn't going to necessarily rape her.
I forgot about that.
Isn't that the lunacy of our mindset in this country?
I forgot about that.
We are so crazy.
I felt so much better if I knew that.
That we forgot. He must be about
he
to
might
rape
kill her,
woman.
But at least he's not going to have sex with her. Right. And that would be terrible. Then she'd be ruined.
Well, I'm also so
a
surprised.
A good clean death. What is wrong with us?
I don't know.
We're mental patients.
It was
clearly.
Thank God he didn't rape her. He broke her neck, hung her up, and tortured her for a few hours, but he didn't have sex with her, so thank goodness.
I would like to know, though, why he outright killed her and didn't torture her for more information, because she clearly has it. Just because it's not lying around just means she's good at her job.
Well, I think that it was really at that point when someone spits in your face, it's the ultimate, you know, that's the ultimate.
Like, he knows she's just not revealing anything.
I think maybe he lost his temper. Maybe he's lost it. You know, a guy like Larrick, I mean, if you spit in his face, there's only like one option.
Does Larrick lose his temper?
No, he loses his temper, but he very calmly and coolly said, "Oh, okay, that was interesting. All right." Snap.
Creepy. Super creepy. I wonder what he did with her body, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to find out eventually.
Didn't need to see it's all of that, the like, just him like sort of getting the leverage and getting it all.
I got to say, I thought that was a great choice. I thought that was great. It's one of those things. I don't know about you, but every now and then you see something in a movie where they break somebody's neck and it's super fast and you're like, oh, that's unpleasant.
And the sound.
But when you watch the whole thing getting in there, then you can.
And then the cutaway, and you just cutaway and you hear the sound. You know, and it's
still
like.
You really put yourself in her shoes and you can feel his, you know, you can imagine how in that moment where your volition is completely gone and, you know. Here it comes.
R.I.P. Kate. So I had also had one of my moments when I was watching this. I'm like, God, this show, again, we talk about, you know, the loyalties and who you're rooting for and not rooting for. Like, you know, I'm like stupid Navy SEAL Americans, like, you know, killing my poor KGB people. Like, get them, Philip and Elizabeth. Well, I want Russia to take out America and then it'll be great. Wait a minute.
No.
I don't want that.
You know, damn it. Like Costa Ronan said, it's not about like the bigger picture. It's really about the characters.
Yeah,
it's
about
so
the people.
We're rooting for Kate because we all of a sudden like Kate. But we hate
characters.
Larrick. So who cares if he's American or not? We just don't like him.
It's the ultimate magic trick of the show. I can say it over and over again. Like, you know,
it's so good.
You know, we are rooting for characters and not sides, obviously.
Right.
So,
which it's so odd because you would think we're completely on the American side.
Because we do not. Yeah, we do not want to see Larrick come in and take. Because, you know, if this were a different show or a different movie, if this were an 80s action movie, Larrick would be Bruce Willis.
Absolutely.
And he would find all the Russians and take them all out, and then that would be it.
And then have a gay orgy at the end, which probably get cut from the final cut.
He totally went there.
But that's interesting. I mean, I'm thinking, like, Larrick as a different guy. I mean, you know, if Larrick was Oliver North, or if Larrick was, if this was 80 movies, he'd be, you know, like I said, he'd be Bruce Willis.
Right.
Shades of Grey, 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 Grey.
But now we're like, Larrick, I want Philip, I want the KGB to take this American out. Yep. Like, so hopefully, and so what we do see is, as we talked about a couple episodes ago, you know, the ultimate scary possibility is him not only getting to Philip and Elizabeth, but getting to the family, getting to Paige and getting to Henry. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of what this whole season's really been about, is about you know, the proximity to danger that they have their family.
Remember
to.
How paranoid they were in that one episode where they were just looking out the window the whole time? They had a tail on them.
Well, the center was watching them as well, but they were like, I don't trust the center.
Speaking of the center watching them, though, we still need to know what Kate was doing with Jared.
Yeah, that's really
a big mystery right there.
And then the code, you know, the very elaborate code just said, get Jared out.
That was so cool. That was super cool spy move.
Yeah,
that was
super spy. I love that. And And I love the intrigue. I love that as a cliffhanger, too, because we're like, whoa, what does that mean?
Wait, but also the fact that the toilet seat was up and she's clearly a woman.
Yeah.
That they knew then to look at the toilet paper roll.
Yes. That's great stuff.
So good.
And, you know, Larrick didn't go to the bathroom. He's better than that. She did that.
Yeah.
Obviously. Thank you.
I wonder who's going to get to first. I mean, this is definitely the ultimate cat and mouse spy game. Yes. Will Philip and Elizabeth find Larrick or find out who it is? First of all, if it's from Larrick and then find Larrick or before they find them, or will Larrick find them? And then
I'm surprised Larrick wasn't sitting there waiting for them. Because clearly, if Kate was getting those messages from the center saying, we can't get through to the switchboard or whatever, she is the next point of contact, right?
Right.
Or do they all have that same frequency?
I don't know, because Larrick was very clear. Like, he said, I found all your hiding spaces, I found all the information,
right,
and there's nothing on the people who killed my friend. So you're very careful. You're very good at your job.
You were good at your job.
Yeah, he said it while she was still alive. Oh, sorry.
So just tell me where they are.
Right.
Spit, snap, the end.
But he could have waited there, assuming that people would come looking for her.
He could have.
And then he could have caught them, and that would have been easy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's a Navy SEAL. It's not like he's not waited.
No real guarantee that the people he's looking for will be the people that come to check on her.
Right.
It might be five or six guys, you know, what does he know? It might be like a whole handful of dudes who come rolling in.
Sure.
But that would be his dream.
Hello.
Hello.
We're back.
And we got the end of the
movie. You're welcome.
So, yeah, the Larrick thing is that he's also a great character, a great villain. He's a great big bad, as they say in the TV world. I like Larrick. You know, it's also interesting that last season we didn't really have, like, a sort of a big bad guy. We kind of had, you know, we didn't have, in this season we have, you know, Larrick, who's, you know, the big bad has been America, you know, but now it's sort of Larrick, who maybe represents that time.
If I can make a brief point, I think that is another strength of the show, is that there is no one guy big bad. And right. I like that Larrick is not a 6'9".
He's pretty badass, though.
But he's 5'10". He's a medium-sized, medium-build badass. He's not Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's not 9 feet tall.
Right.
He's not like got a razor haircut and a crazy hard face.
Right.
He's just an average looking guy who knows how to do stuff.
Sure.
And that makes so much more sense, and it makes it so much more plausible. And I love that. I love that he's a
realistic.
Yeah, he's realistic, and he's a functional. Okay. He's like you are a functional within a military structure. You're not a barbarian that's put in an American uniform.
Well, let me ask you. He keeps saying this, but is Larrick's function here to get revenge and take everyone out and take down the network, or is it simple revenge?
Getting the monkey off his back.
No, but is it simple revenge of like, you killed my friends, now I'm going to kill you? Like, I can put up with you guys blackmailing me. I can put up with all this crap you guys had me, but...
Well, didn't he say he was a prisoner, or I'm tired of being at your will or
right.
whatever?
But I think he, like, he was free of that. I think that he had taken out George, taken out the network, he's taken out Kate. I mean, he's pretty much can skip town and be free, and no one's going to, you know, maybe come after him.
He doesn't want to skip town. He wants to, he's a Navy SEAL.
He wants to be back and working.
And he wants no one over his shoulder.
Right.
So Philip and Elizabeth both have seen him. He knows them. They have to be gone. And once they're gone, then he doesn't know anybody else that knows him.
Because presumably, you know, Emmett and Leanne, you know, he's taking them out if that's who we're blackmailing him. He's taken out
Kate. George.
If he takes out George, if he takes out Philip and Elizabeth, there's no one left but Jared, which is why Jared's got to go, maybe.
Ooh, that's an interesting idea.
Yeah. Because maybe that is the answer. Maybe Jared has, maybe that answer a question about did Larrick kill Leanne and Emmett or not, because if he did not finish the job and he has to go take care of Jared, that means that he has a really clean.
So Jared could be a new Wedge. So we got to make sure we get Jared off the board. All right, maybe.
Interesting. So let's shift gears over to Philip and Elizabeth for a while, for a second. On the spy side, we see a pretty cool disguise from Philip as he goes in to talk to.
Yeah.
I liked his beard. That was a good beard.
That was very, like, he looked like one of the Doobie Brothers again.
I
like that look.
And the character was solid.
Yeah.
I was on board.
I liked it.
I was on board. I liked
his little braid. It was really realistic.
Oh, yeah.
The times.
The braid. And he even had a little affected speech that was sort of that kind of a guy. But I was happy to see my guy, I can't remember his name, Zelko Ivanovich, which is the character actor who played my man who played John Skeeves, the cancer patient guy. I love seeing him in everything. He's great in
so
Damages and his son Banshee was great, and he's on a bunch of stuff, Revolution, a bunch of other crap. But anyway, he's good, and so that was interesting to see that, to get a way to get that information, whereas you go into that guy who has been sort of thrown away as someone who's dying and maybe doesn't remember much.
Well, it's also a great device to kind of tell people, like, this stuff went on. That happened.
Oh, yeah.
There were tons of guys. There are still tons of guys.
Yeah.
I mean, we still have secret locations.
Yeah.
We still fly people in and out of Las Vegas in unmarked planes that don't have windows, and we land them in secret bases, and we do the work through Boeing and through Lockheed and it's funded by the government.
Yeah.
I mean, that all goes on still. And people do get sick, and they don't want to be responsible for what they're – because they're always messing with new stuff. We don't know what this is going to do to people. I mean, what did he say? It was paint with ball bearings?
He talked about what they tried to do and didn't work. But what they found was if they did these microscopic iron balls, you know.
In the paint. Aerosolized to spray on. Eventually,
then the radar bounces off it and it kills the bats. Which I don't know if that was a.
The bats were in his head.
No, they're real bats.
It's a radar. It's a radar thing. I
mean, maybe you probably got big hangers. You probably got some bats hanging in the hangar in the rafters.
But also bats. Fly,
I think it was a double entendre, really.
Well, it could be
because he also said the cancer went to his brain. Bats in the brain.
That could be that too. I was thinking that, and I don't know how in terms of a stealth situation, can't if bats are in the thing and they're flying around and
maybe they're using the bats to test it out.
Flew right into it and die because they.
Oh.
That's how you know that it works.
Interesting.
Your point might be better.
certainly closer than
so.
The,
yeah. Yeah,
but also, well, it killed the bats and it killed him because he inhaled all this aerosol and obviously caused the cancer. And you know,
but they're not going to be responsible.
Don't inhale the stealth paint.
Yeah, don't ever.
Good to know. Stealth paint.
That's not a good look. So, so we did get that. So that intel. So again, this is just a long, long, long way to get all this spy information. What they do to obtain information is, you know, through various sources, whether it's sleeping with people or, you know, it's interesting what they do. So that was cool.
They prey on the weak.
Yes. So they have the information, but they have no one to report it to because everyone's gone.
So crazy. Yeah, and at the end, they sort of figure that out.
And the network's gone itself. So it'll be interesting to see how they proceed because we may finally see... You know, I mean, I don't know. We may finally see the next people they can report to. Is it Arcady?
Well,
like,
one more thing I want to mention that's interesting to me is the idea of who the disaffected are. Who are the weak links, and why are they the weak links?
Right.
Like, why was this character, John? Right.
Yep.
Why was this person vulnerable? And it's interesting to me. There are times when you're a spoiled brat and you expect things that aren't due you.
Sure.
And you're gonna turn. But there are also times when you have been abandoned by this system. This system does leave people behind. And it's interesting that the show doesn't shirk from that, this guy legitimately has cancer. He most likely got it from the program. There's no real dancing around that. And I think that's interesting to me because it really kind of points the finger at the system a little bit.
Well, I mean, look, the show is definitely a warts and all show, right?
That's a great term.
The show is not about like, we're going to show America in a great light. Russians as the bad guys and Americans as great guys.
They show each side equally. Yeah.
Warts and all. That's a terrific way to say it.
Joe Weisberg, former CAA. Like, he knows what he's talking about specifically. I do want to, before we run out of time here, I do want to just briefly touch on the whole Paige thing because Elizabeth was so adamant about Paige not going to this camp. Philip starting to soften two episodes ago after his confrontation with Pastor what's his head?
Tim.
Pastor Tim. You're so good.
She is good with the names.
Thank you.
After his confrontation with Pastor Tim and his sort of, you know, coming back to earth, and he sort of softened on this whole thing. Elizabeth has been hard on it.
Which, by the way, I thought about while we were watching tonight that when they were paired as partners in spy-ness, they were never asked, like, are you going to parent the same way?
Right,
you know, like, are
exactly.
you going to be partners in everything?
Yeah.
And raise your children that we need you to have the same way? And, you know.
Exactly. And that's also interesting, too, when you think about that. I mean, this is more philosophical than we have time for. But, like, in that initial thing, we're going to make you guys are going to partner up. And then you guys are going to probably have some sex, have some kids. And then you're going to raise those kids, and then you're going to start doing some spy stuff. Like, how do you know that that's going to make the kids? What if you beat the kids? What if the kids go nuts? I mean, how do you know that that's something they can sustain over a 15-year period?
Yeah, how do you know those two are suited to be paired?
Talk about the long game.
I would point to this has never been done before, and this is an interesting. We'll see how this goes.
Yeah. So anyway, so Paige, Elizabeth is adamantly against this whole thing, and Philip's been talking it through, and. Paige does a fantastic job of really making your case, and that was a really lovely
moment.
How great
was that? You're a dad. You've been on both ends of that. I have the prepared speech for mom and dad, and you've received the prepared speech for mom and dad.
Yes.
And it is hilarious, because you do have that moment where you go, all right, you've taken the time. I'm gonna hear you out with a little more love, because you obviously came in prepped. You're ready. Look at you. Your hair is fixed. You came up with your arguments.
She was eloquent.
She was eloquent. It was a great argument. And it's like, it was really, so you can't, like, you can control me in this house until I'm 18, but you can't basically control my thoughts and who I am. And
that's
the question
me.
Is, did that resonate? I mean, did that really resonate for Elizabeth? And did she really, like, say, okay? Or was it really just like, we got a mission to do?
I think it's
combination. I think that first, she already recognized that Paige is very similar to her.
Yeah.
And I think second, that why she was going on this trip was actually anti-American.
Right.
So they appreciated that and said, go. Because maybe this will actually open her eyes to what we already believe in, and then they don't have to tell her that.
Good point.
So
that's a great point.
Well, it helped their case.
Yeah.
I think more nuanced than that. I mean, it's not necessarily anti-American. It's anti-stupid-ass stuff. I mean, the reality was we were flying.
That was eloquent.
No, but it was. It was stupid. We still have an unexploded nuclear bomb.
Anti-stupid-ass dumb stuff.
There is an unexploded nuclear bomb that was dropped from a bomber flying in the U.S. We flew them for decades that were loaded with nuclear bombs.
Yeah, that happened.
And so there's an unexploded nuclear bomb. I believe it's in the Gulf of Mexico. Is it in the Gulf of Mexico, or is it further inland? It's in mud and water, and we can't find it. And it's there. And someday the sucker might go off and blow up wherever it is. I mean, this is a thing we did for a long, long time. So, I mean, it might just be a matter of like, hey, this is just plain stupid.
Yeah.
I don't think so. They don't do anything that's just like, let's just send her off because that's an interesting thing for her to do. Everything is so calculated.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see how this. Well, hopefully she's on the field trip when Larrick comes in.
Right.
But I'll save this for predictions. But I do have a prediction regarding that. Oh my god. Okay.
Should we just
let's go into predictions?
Well,
we're here now.
And the soundboard hung.
Hanging soundboard. Oh, well. Okay. Do the predictions, Joe. Let me do the sound effects.
AfterBuzz TV prediction.
That was really good.
Well, not bad.
No.
Okay, let's hear your prediction, JTJ.
Oh, now you're just getting crazy. Yes, ladies first, but not right now.
Joe?
I'm sorry. I was digging up the unexploded nuclear
bomb.
It is off the coast of Georgia, the unexploded nuclear bomb that we dropped in 1958. Predictions. So I think that Arcady is playing a long game. I think that that's what's going on. I think when he meets with Stan, it's going to be, we have this on you. You have Nina. Here's what we need. Otherwise, we know where you have her, and we're going to kill her.
Okay.
Kill her.
Do you want me to go, or you want to
you.
Go? This is really a bold prediction, but so the whole thing has been about the proximity of danger, the danger that the kids have been in, the potential danger that the kids may or may not be in. I think that Elizabeth is going to go on this trip, but this whole camp trip.
Paige,
I'm sorry. This whole camping thing. I feel like Paige might not make it, or Paige is going to either be dead or close or shot, or something's going to happen.
Yeesh.
And it's really going to rock Elizabeth to her core, because she could have been like, if I sent her away to camp, or if I let her go to the thing, she would be alive, or if I let her go to the thing, she would be.
Well, but she's going.
But she's going to the protest, but she's not going to the camp.
Right.
I feel like there's going to be something that Elizabeth's going to not let her go to, and then the result will be she's going to be putting harm's way because of it.
Interesting.
And just it, very similar to the way I predicted, what's going to happen with Lucia and the effect that will have. Is that her name, Lucia?
Yep.
Oh, I got that one right.
Yeah.
What happened with Lucia and the effect that it would have on Elizabeth. I thought Lucia is going to get got,
and
Elizabeth
absolutely.
Is going to, it's going to have this lasting effect. I feel it's the same things that happened to Paige. Elizabeth wants to deal with the consequences of her actions directly as it relates to her kids, who will be put in harm's way because of her.
I agree with all the things you guys said.
Nothing?
I just agree with those things.
I'll take it.
I know.
I do want to point out, because I'm not a crazy person,
yes.
1958. We were war games off the coast of Georgia. An F-86 fighter collided with a B-47 bomber. They had a little mid-air collision. The bomber was flying with live nuclear warhead inside.
Why not?
Because we're insane people. So he tried to land the plane a couple times, couldn't land the plane, got permission to jettison the live nuclear bomb So he jettisoned it off the coast of Georgia. It has been there for 55 years, and they have not found it. They don't know where it is.
Interesting. I do now have a prediction.
Yes.
That I think that Philip and Elizabeth will meet Larrick at Jared.
Oh, okay. I'll take it.
Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-da-bing.
Joe Sanfilippo, nice where clean. Can we find you,
you
sir?
You can find me on the Twitters at Joe Filippo, J-O-E-F-L-I-P-O, and my website is josephsanfilippo, josephsanfilippo.com.
Ooh.
Wow.
Say that four times fast.
JTJ, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jen the Jew, Jennifer Golden on Facebook, my website, jennifergolden.com, and I am one half of twodrunkgirls.net.
Yes. Laura Leonelli is the other half. You can find me. I'm Joe Braswell. You can find me at Joe K. Braswell on Twitter and Instagram. Thank you very much. We have two episodes left of The Americans. We'll see you next week.
Executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff. We would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Ruby.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.